Believe, and we know that there's nothing impossible for you, Lord God, and we're reminded again, and so we give you thanks. We thank you for our children and the faithfulness of their parents and how they come forth and stand before everyone, and they will do the best they can. Oh God, we are so thankful that we have children in our church. We thank you. We thank, what would we do without them? And so, Lord God, continue to bless us and to bless this church, and to bless each and every person under the sound of my voice, and give them that joy of Christmas. It is a time of hope and peace and joy and love, and certainly expectation. And if we're not going to feel that way now, when are we going to feel it? So God, fill our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Come now, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power. Come, we invite you into this place. We invite you into our hearts. We invite you now. Yes. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we're getting ready for Christmas, and it's not at the store, it's here. My sermon title today is Nothing is Impossible with God, or Nothing is Impossible for God. One theologian writes a little blurb and says, the future of the world in the hands of a girl. And he says, she struck the angel Gabriel as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child. But he had been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it. He told her what the child was to be named and who he was to be, and something about the mystery that was to come upon her. You mustn't be afraid, Mary, he said. And as he said it, he only hoped she wouldn't notice that beneath the great golden wings he himself was trembling with fear. To think that the whole future of creation hung now on the answer of a girl. Whole future of creation. Even Angel Gabriel was concerned about this impossible task. God calls us to do something. Now consider the impossibility. Consider the impossible. This is a story of impossibilities. Consider impossibilities Mary faced in the story. She's a virgin and pregnant. She's having a child while she's a virgin. Impossible. No way, won't happen. Joseph has to follow through on the marriage after he discovers Mary is pregnant. Impossible. Mary must avoid being stoned to death when the neighbors hear the news. Impossible. Consider the impossibilities Elizabeth faced. She was well past the childbearing age, and yet God says she's going to conceive and bear a child. This impossible news left old Zechariah speechless. If you remember the text? Impossible. No way. Won't happen. This is a story of biblical impossibilities. But what are the impossibilities in our world? What would you label impossible in your life? Peace in our world? Impossible. No way. Won't happen. We've been waiting for peace forever, haven't we? Christian values returning to our nation? Morality becoming the norm? Impossible, we say. Our church reaching out, surrounding community, and making our world different? Impossible. Restoring relationships, healing past hurts in our lives, a relative or a friend entering a relationship with Christ, breaking an addiction and overcoming past hurts and disappointments? Impossible. When we look at our world and the things we see in human context, we think it's impossible. We find ourselves with the same troubled mind as Mary, wondering over the impossibilities of what faces us. We even ask the same question Mary asked. How will this be? Friends, have you ever asked God about something that you're thinking is impossible? And he says, how will this be? To us, it seems impossible. No way. Won't happen. The real question for today is, how can the impossible become possible? How can the impossible become possible? That's our question. Christmas for us, and the birth of the Christ child is about something impossible becoming possible. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who said that she was barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." I want us to remember that now. For nothing is impossible with God. You see, these folks had been waiting a very long time. Very long time for God to move. They've been waiting. It is believed that Isaiah first prophesied about the coming of the Messiah 700 years before the Messiah came. Isaiah 7:14. He prophesied, the prophecy was written between 701 to 681 B.C. And even though theologians may say that that was not about the Messiah, we believe of Jesus Christ, choose to believe that it was about the Messiah, because they have no other proof. Now I want to tell you a little story today. I was thinking this morning, Mary having a virgin birth was just showing us that God was way before the scientist, the biological scientist, the medical scientist. Because look what's happening now, folks. This impossibility that happened over 2,000 years ago, folks are now getting what? They're now taking an egg and a sperm and putting it together, and they're impregnating a woman, and who knows if that woman can be a virgin. Do you see that God was way before the A-ball? That God did it first, and now men, human beings are catching up. Isn't it? God's impossibilities always come first. The possibilities in our life always come first, and then human beings catch up and then take credit for it. Right? Scientists are taking credit now for putting an egg to a sperm, but listen, whatever happened with Mary, it happened long before they showed up. Amen, right? They're doing exactly what God did with Mary. I have known how many women who are now says who couldn't have babies, and eggs and sperm are put together outside of the womb and then injected into the womb, and babies in the womb. So who could say that God couldn't do this, what it seems to be impossible?
Praise God.
Who would have said 40 years ago, when I was a little girl, 40 plus years ago, let me clean it up here. 40 plus years ago when I was a little girl, that this is possible. Who could have said, some of us who are older than 40, could say that this was going to happen, that a woman, that they could take an egg and a sperm and put it together. So you won't know my age, everybody.
We can guess.
You could guess. It's in a book somewhere. Right? So the impossibilities that we face now is not impossible for God. The things that we are facing now, we think it's impossible for God because we believe that our mind, you know, that we can do everything, right? We believe that we can figure it all out. But I've come today to tell you this day that some of us are waiting for some things that seem impossible, that seem too big and too huge for us. But God is in the business of doing that.
Amen.
God would take a woman, a young woman, unknown, and a young man, unknown, and God would do what? Bring forth his son, Jesus Christ. You know, this story always gives me hope. Diane, it gives us a lot of hope about some impossible things that we're waiting for. Amen. That seems so impossible to us, we can't figure out. Church, we need to get more excited about what the Lord is doing in our midst. We need to start demand of God, seek of God, some things that seem impossible. We need to do that. Do you know why? It's our fear that is blocking us. What did the angel say to Mary? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Some text says,
Fear not. Do you know, I was reading the text last night and reading it again. And how many times have I read that story and heard those words? And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, fear not, Marjorie. Fear not. Do not be afraid. I can do all things,
Amen.
God can. Therefore, we can do all things to Christ who gives us the strength, who strengthens us. Fear not. You see, fear can be, fear is real, and fear can be perceived. There are many things that blocks us because we perceive the fear. We know there are real fears in life, isn't there? Fear of crossing the street, crossing West Oak Country Road on a busy day. That's a real fear. Fear of crossing 106 without the light. Even with the light, you're running before it gets to 10 seconds. They count down while you're in the middle. Fear of being killed. We know that there's real fear, tangible fear. But many of us are bound up because of what? Perceived fear. We won't do this, we won't do that. I had a friend who wanted to be a nurse. She had been a secretary and an excellent secretary. You know, in those days when people typed on typewriter, even though I'm just 40, and she typed over 100 and something words a minute. I guess that's how they would say it. She was an executive secretary at a big ad agency in New York where I worked. And I was just starting out. And she always wanted to be a nurse. She wanted, and she kept saying her children, and she would say, I wanted to be a nurse. And I said to her one day, Olive, if you live, God makes you live another 20 years, or whatever number of years. What is stopping you? Because you're going to get to your 20, that 20 year, and you're going to say, I wish I had. Right? If God doesn't take you, and you live to be, you're going to, I says, get started. If it takes you 10 years to be a nurse, she's working full time. If it's taking you 10 years, you got to go bit by bit by bit, get started. When she graduated, and I went to her graduation, took her a long time, but she got it. She told them there, she says, Martha told me that if it takes 10 or 15 years, so what? If I lived to see it, I would have accomplished what I did. And so she accomplished. Fear was keeping her bound. The fear of, I can't pay the money, not going to get a scholarship, this is not going to work out. All the perceived things, and it all worked out for good, friends. Many of us are waiting for things that we have never received because fear has bound us. Right? We are very fearful in our churches sometimes. We won't try this, we won't try this, because what if it's not? Remember now, what did Angel Gabriel said to Mary? The Lord is going to do this. Right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, Mary, and the Lord is going to do it. We fear because we think we have to do it.
Yeah.
There are things that are too big for us. Things that are too huge for us to fathom and see. And Christmas reminds us, the birth of Jesus Christ reminds us that there are things outside of our realm, outside of whatever we do, that is bigger than us. But when it's bigger than us, it's good. We should hand it over to God.
Amen.
Because it's not too big for God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Not too big for God. I'm always handing it over to God. And sometimes I'm disobedient. I will be thinking it through and thinking it through and thinking it through. Just in the night, I'll think and I'll read. And I'm a reader. You know, I have an economics degree twice. So I always try to analyze. Diane knows. I'm always analyzing. Even though I'm an optimist, and we're doing some things together, and I'm saying, well, Diane, if this doesn't add up to be this, and that's, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit would say, stop it, girl. You know, your whole life has been because of me. Right? You have to remind me, like, stop trying to be analytic. All this education can just bound you up. Because God can do something that is as great as this. We need to be telling young people that again. We need to remind them with this Christian story that they can do anything. They feel so overwhelmed and depressed. Young man, you could do anything you want. Right? Don't let the world bound you and put us into box. Bust out of the box and fear not, because the Lord is with you. Fear not, because you're doing it on the strength of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. He's going to make a way. How many times we says, oh, we can't go to school, we can't pay the tuition, and all of a sudden, one and one becomes six, and the tuition is paid. Mary had to learn that, fear not. We remember this glad news, but we don't remember that, fear not. Notice how many times this was said in the time of the preparation for the birth of the Lord. When the angel of the Lord first appeared to Zacharias in the temple, he was troubled and fearful upon him. But the angel said to him, fear not. So Zacharias had to also hear the fear not. When the angel appeared to Mary, she was troubled at this saying. And the angel said to her, fear not. And on the night of the Lord's birth, when the angel appeared to the shepherds, they were also afraid. We saw it here. The kids just read it. All afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Right? So here's the shepherd being afraid, Zacharias being afraid, Mary being afraid, and the angel of the Lord constantly saying, fear not. Folks, we got to give up on fear, perceived fear. Real fear is healthy. Anything, one writer says, anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, he could do for you and for me. God can do anything. We have got to be trusting him. Do we have to do the work? Yes. Do we want a degree or whatever we want? And we says, no, I'm not going to study. I'm just going to sit and don't fear. No, because we have common sense, right? We're going to have to go to school. We have to study. But while we're at it, we're trusting in the Lord that he's going to make crooked paths straight. He's going to open up doors that needs to be opened. One of the scriptures says he'll close doors that must be closed and he'll open up new doors. God will. So this story reminds us that it had been planned. 700 years from the prophecy of Zacharias, 400 years from the last prophet speaking in Malachi. And then out of nowhere, God had been working for all those years. It had been ready from the beginning. And God would step out of eternity. You see, what happens is we got to stop always what? Depending on our power and our might.
Amen.
Because when we get sick, when we get weary, I just had a revelation there. I was thinking about someone who's always working and working and working, doing good, and always doing great things for the church, for the community. And then got sick and couldn't move around. And I said to her as I was speaking to her, I said, fear not. The Lord is going to take care of you. She didn't have any children. And let me tell you, that church has rallied around her. You thought that woman had a million children. Fear not.
Amen.
Scripture says they'll never see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Fear not. Those people have rallied around her because she thought it was always by her power and her might. But God would open up the windows of heaven and send church folks and neighbors to take care of that woman. He is like that when you least expect it. When you think that everything is dependent on your strength and your might, what happens when you get old? What happens when you get sick? What happens when you can't do it if you're not depending on God himself? You have to depend on God. With God, all things are possible. And Christmas reminds us that little baby in a manger reminds us that God can do what human beings think is impossible. And there it was. We don't care, the theologians who don't believe. There are people now who are disputing the virgin birth. We don't care. Why waste your time? They're going to die and it's still going to be here. You know, people have been disputing the birth. Some people, for it's 2,000 years. God's not dead movement. This doesn't happen. They're going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. And baby Jesus is still going to be celebrated on the 25th as
Amen.
Being born into the world
Hallelujah.
To save humanity.
Hallelujah.
It will not stop. And you have to write books about it. Teach classes about it. Make some money. Whoever is doing all this, the books that are sold and made, I choose not to read them because I'm reading one book about the birth, and that is the Bible. When it comes to Jesus' birth, I'm reading one book about the Bible, the Gospels. And I'm going to believe it by faith.
Amen.
I'm going to spend my life believing it and trusting it because I myself is a nobody. That God would step out of eternity in a island called Jamaica, touch me, decided long before I knew that I'd be here today. Amen. Looking so lovely at all of you. Right? That God would decide. This is not written in any books. My mother or father did not graduate from college. They live in a little country. My father was a very bright man, a little business. But he didn't graduate from college. He was the last child of his mother who died in childbirth with him. But he was a hard-working man. My story of coming here from going to Canada to go to university and then leaving and coming to New York without a green card left my status in Canada, which I was went there and was there to get better education to do. It's all about God.
Amen.
It's been written. I could tell you things about my story that would make you weep, but you won't hear it. Because it's not about me. I'm just using one little tidbit. That this whole little thing, whatever I've achieved, whatever how small and tiny a speck it is in the universe, I give God all the credit and all the praise. Fear not. Times when I was scared and worried, am I going to make it in this country all by myself? Knowing nobody in this place but one uncle. God would open up doors and opportunities and possibilities. And I went and got a bachelor's and then a master's and then another master's. God has done it. Done it all. Open up doors. And for all of you, I'm sure if you all were to get up to preach here this morning and you were to reflect on your life, the songwriter says, when I think my life over and all that he has done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God. If you were to talk your story today, if we had a chance to ask every person, and if you had to go back and look at your parents and your grandparents, you would have said they operated with this premise, trusting in the Lord and leaving fear aside. So friends, we're reminded today on Christmas Eve, fear not, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, the Lord is with you. Oh, glory to God. What a message to face the new year. Glory to God. I saw one, as I close, one story. This hunger, the Hunger Fund group, this man got a call from God that he should start a mission. And it was he had to get medicines. And it was a lot of medicines, millions, how many dollars of medicines to send overseas to head this program. He and his wife says, I can't do this. I cannot do this. What are they talking about? And do you know what would happen? After prayers, his name was Dave Phillips and his wife Lynn. And God supernaturally provided for the couple's ministry. And they believed and they had faced up obstacle. Year after year, God continues to provide supernaturally. Today, they have distributed more than 950 million in food and other relief to more than 10 million kids in 70 countries and 32 states. Children's Hunger Fund has distributed more than 150 million pounds of food and 110 million toys. Because guess what? He feared not. When God called, he didn't know what to do. He wasn't going to do it, and he trusted God. And the writer says, Dave wrote down the name of the drug they had told him that he needed to send, and somebody would come up with 48,000 vials of extra drug to send. God can do the impossible, church, as I close. I want some folks in this church who are members, and some of you are friends who have come today, to walk with me in the new year and to start operating not out of fear, but out of what? Faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 12:11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we're going to have the faith that our church is going to be here. We're going to have the faith that we are going to be able to change the greater community. We're going to have the faith that we're going to be able to pay our bills. We're going to have the faith that we're going to be paying our portion. Beyond that, we're going to have the faith and the belief that this place is going to be full again. We're going to trust God and fear not. He's going to work it out. And when my time is left from here and I'm gone, I'm coming back here. I'm going to show up some Sunday when Ellen is trying to hide from me. I'll be coming in and I'll be yelling at the back, "How y'all doing now? Are you still not fearing? And you can't put me out, Ellen, because the door of the church will be open to me. Because I'm going to believe God."
I know your age.
It's a secret. So friends, this, not only is it for our church, it is for our own lives. Some of us have books to write, ministries to start, things to do, new biz, whatever God is in our hearts, whatever God has in our hearts. God has been talking to me about something for so long, I finally nearly got a whipping from God. And I says, "Yes, God, I'm going to try." Every time I read something and I think I could do just as good, God says, "Fear not. Why don't you? Fear not. God is with us. Emmanuel. God with us." That's what we have over all other religion. We had a God who had stepped out of eternity, step into our world, and give us this great hope. Fear not. The Lord is with you. Amen.